Well, Lamentations 5:21, right at the end now of Lamentations, I think we come to the crunch point. It is what people who study literature would call the end stress. You see it in the parables quite often, and you see it here because Lamentations is poetry. The absolute final point is at the end. So, turn us to yourself, Yahweh, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. In other words, restore the kingdom as it used to be, as in the days of old. Renew or rebuild us, which is the language used of the rebuilding of the restoration in Isaiah 61. And then the last verse, 22, I think I would go with the Septuagint here, which says, for you have indeed rejected us, you have been very wroth against us. In other words, look, the time of your anger is surely past. You've destroyed the temple and the city of Jerusalem. Okay, but now turn us to yourself, Yahweh, and we shall be turned. Now, the idea, of course, is that Judah needed to repent so that that ruined city could be rebuilt. And yet Jeremiah sees it in terms of God giving the repentance. You turn us, or repent us, and we shall be turned, or repented. I think what he's saying is, we're open and ready and willing, but we're too weak to actually repent, sort of on our own initiative. Can you turn us? And yet, once you do that, we shall be willing to respond. And so repentance itself, not just forgiveness, comes to be seen as a gift. And this, of course, is what you find in other parts of the scriptures. Jeremiah 31 is very clear, verse 18. Turn me, Ephraim says, and I shall be turned, for you are Yahweh my God. There is there a request for God to turn or repent us, and we shall be repented. We shall repent. And then verse 19, surely after that I was turned, I repented. So you see, repentance in this case comes after this action of God in turning us to himself. And you see it again in Acts 3, where Peter talks about the blessing that was promised to Abraham, and he interprets it in spiritual ways. He says that God sent his son Jesus to bless you in turning every one of you away from your sins. This is the same idea. The blessing is not simply forgiveness. It is a turning away from sin. It is the hand of God leading to repentance. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Romans 11:26 goes on with that, talking about how the Lord Jesus will turn away, that's the same Greek word as turning every one of you away from your sins, Jesus will turn away ungodliness from Jacob when Israel enter the new covenant. So then, the idea is that God will take the initiative, but we should be willing to respond. Finally, in this context, Acts 11, where they rejoice that God has also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That's Acts 11, verse 18. So then God granted, he gave, he gifted. It's the same word for grace. He graced them with repentance, which would lead to life. Now, there is the idea that God helps those who help themselves. You make a move toward God, and God will help you. And from that, there arises sort of the connected idea that God is sort of facing off against man over an open Bible. And as John Davies said to me once, I was taking him to the airport in Sydney and we were talking about these things, and we got to the airport and just before he jumped out of the car, he said to me, the Bible is not a riddle to be solved. And then, like, oh, thanks for dropping me at the airport, Duncan. And that always stuck with me because it was a profound statement that the Bible is not a riddle to be solved. John probably just said it off the top of his head, but truly, it's not that God is facing off against man over an open Bible, and if you solve the riddle, he says, well, all right, Well done. Yeah, look, I gave you my son, I gave you my word. I really did do all I could for you. I shall weigh you up at the last day and I shall tell you yes or no. This is not the position. And yet, I suspect, although I couldn't prove this in any statistical sort of quantitative kind of way, I suspect that the majority of people who would self-identify as Christian have some sort of idea like that. That, you know, God is facing off against us and we shall wait and see at the last day, see how it all pans out. No, this is not the case. God has taken the initiative and continually takes initiative. And God's taking of initiative is the basis for us to do the same with people, to forgive people without waiting for their repentance, to love them unconditionally, to continually take initiative in acts of kindness to the undeserving, to the ungrateful, and so forth, because that's all rooted in His initiative with us. And so you see here that God does give repentance. But what about God helps those who help themselves? Well, yes, I suppose there is some truth in that. There is. In that, if you're like Pharaoh and you harden your heart and you do not want to accept the love of God and you do not want His hand in yours, well, you won't have it. In fact, you will become hardened in your own way. But we surely are not like that. We're weak. But we're not as Pharaoh. And so all these verses that we've just put together, beginning there in Lamentations 5, turn us to yourself, Yahweh, repent us and we shall be turned or repented. In other words, we're saying, look, I'm willing. I'm weak, but I'm willing. I'm weak and willing. You turn me and I need you to take the initiative. I'm so weak, I need you to give me that stimulus. But sure, I'll run the way that you show me, move me, and I shall be moved. And this, therefore, is the grace of God. The statement in Acts 11 was that God has to the Gentiles granted, gifted, graced, all the same word, charis in Greek, whence the word charismatic. He has graced, He has given by grace, repentance, not just forgiveness, but more than that, repentance. He is the prime mover. But we have got to be willing to be moved. Turn us to yourself, Yahweh, and we shall be turned. And tragically, so many of the Jews remained in exile. They did not return to the land. It's the same word, shub, in Hebrew. It's a big play on the idea throughout the Restoration Prophets that to return to the land and to repent are the same word. They chose to remain in exile. They had a good life, soft life. Eventually, they didn't stay long, mourning and weeping by the rivers of Babylon. They assimilated, they got on well. Just look at the book of Esther. See how prosperous they were at the time of Persia, after Babylon had faded and Persia had taken over. They were in high position, they were wealthy, so Haman says, look, I'll kill all the Jews and I'll give you all their money. It'll be a huge amount of money. And they were therefore unwilling to be turned, even though God was trying to do that. But they did not have Jeremiah's spirit, which was, turn us to yourself, Yahweh, and we shall be turned. He tried, sent fishers and hunters to drive them back, to return them. And Haman was one of them. But they didn't want that. And so it is with us and with so many people. I'm saying then that God is taking initiatives with you in what you might consider to be minor matters. In the day-by-day, hour-by-hour business of life, God wants you. He really wants you. But turn us to yourself, Yahweh, and we shall be turned. You've got to have that desire to be turned. That is what's so critically important. And when you look at the kingdom in front of us, you think of all the huge, endless possibilities that you see offered to us in Scripture. Why, surely, yes, that's for me. I would love that. I'm just weak. Okay, you're weak. Okay. Well, God is reaching across the table to take the initiative. And in one sense, all you got to do is say yes.